The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
Forgive me if this bright light shines on my skin, on my forehead. That's right. Amen. Amen. Thank you, praise team. Thank you, praise team. Yes, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. You know, Dad was talking to me, and, you know, people will tell you, and it's true, you know, just from the Bible and historical accounts, more than likely, Jesus was born what would be in our month of September. Okay, that would be 9, right? How long does it take for a baby gestation? 9 months. When do you think Jesus was conceived? About now. By the Holy Spirit, amen? Makes you think. Don't let people talk you out of things. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your birth, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity we have to receive you as our Savior, but not just that, but as our Lord. As the head of the church, advancing your kingdom in this region, advancing your kingdom in our lives, Father, and drawing in that harvest of souls in this end times, Father. You say in your word that you would have that none should perish, that all should come to the redeeming knowledge of you through Jesus. We thank you for that. Father, I ask you to give us wisdom by the power of your Holy Spirit to be doers of your word, Father, walking out your will in these last days. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You don't have these scriptures, and that's okay. In Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, it says, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." I've said this scripture many times to the people here. It says, surely, and it's in Amos 3:7, "Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets." We've said many times from this pulpit the two facts that separate Christianity from any other belief system. One would be that our Savior rose from the grave. As documented in ancient historical documents written by the Romans, by the way, not just the Bible. The Bible tells us the truth, absolutely, but there are also people who saw Jesus after they had crucified him, and what would you do? I'd tell somebody, did you know what happened? And then they wrote it down. Well, you know the other thing? Prophecy. Prophecy. The prophecy in the Word of God. In Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, it says, "For us, unto us a child is born." That C's capitalized, huh? "Unto us a son is given." It says, "And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." See, there's many prophecies concerning the birth of Jesus. I read a book where it talked about 11 different prophecies in the Old Testament concerning Jesus. I'm going to share a couple with you. The first one is in Micah 5, verse 2. It says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting. Matthew 2:1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, there was the prophecy about Jesus being born in Bethlehem, being born of the tribe of Judah. How many tribes were there? 12. Well, there's a 1 in 12 chance that he'd be born in the tribe of Judah. How many communities were there in Judea? Well, there are many, but he was born in Bethlehem. Why? Because the prophet Micah had spoken the word of the Lord that he would be born there. Let me give you another one. Isaiah 40, verse 3, it says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. In Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness or the desert of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's 11 different prophecies written in the Old Testament. Let me give you one more. In Zechariah 9, verse 9, it says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. It's about Jesus coming in Jerusalem. In Luke 19, verses 29, I'm going to read it. It says, it came to pass when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called Olivet, and he sent two of his disciples, he's coming to Jerusalem, saying, go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it to me. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing it? Thus you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord has need of him. Then they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their own clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on him. And as he went, many spread their clothes on the road. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for the almighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. All these things were concerning Jesus, written of old. If you take those, if you just take the 11 that I had read, I can go through them, but we won't. And someone smarter than me did a statistical analysis, kind of trying to decipher how many communities there were so that Bethlehem would be the one. The fact that he would come riding on a colt, the fact that he'd be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. The chances of all those things coming together and happening are 1 in 10 billion, 10 billion. It would be 1 in a pentillion. It goes past a quadrillion. Do you know just how blinded you'd have to be to not accept that Jesus is who he says he was? That he would, amen. Let me tell you something, guys. The word proves itself over and over, which separates our belief from any other belief in the universe. That's why we celebrate his birth. And we do celebrate his birth. We celebrate on Christmas. That's why I've been telling everyone, you know, people are a little bit more sensitive to the good news of the gospel this time of year. It's Christmas. It's Christ. And we celebrate his coming, right? But then we celebrate his life, right? We celebrate his teachings and everything he did as he walked on this earth. And it said the books of his accomplishments would fill the world. They didn't even write all the things he did. But you know what he did? He went to the cross. You see, Jesus isn't in a manger. I mean, nativity scenes are cool. That's all right. I have a good friend who collects them. They're beautiful. But Jesus is not a baby in a manger. He's not. He lived a full life. And then he died on a cross for you and for me. It says the wages of sin is death. And Jesus says, okay, I'll pay that price. I'll pay it for you. I'll pay it for all that would believe, right? That's the key. But he's not dead on a cross either. You see, we celebrate his birth, but we celebrate his resurrection. He rose. He didn't stay dead. He rose. And he didn't do it alone. He set all the captives free. Because the scripture said, you cannot come to the Father except through the Son. Well, what about all the people that had died before he ever lived? He went and saved them too. Ah. And then what did he do? Then he ascended. Not only that, he sent his Holy Spirit. To do what? To reside in his body, the church. Whew. In Colossians 1, I'm going to read verses 15 through 18. He said, he, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. There was a purpose to all these things. There was a purpose to him coming. There was a purpose to him dying. There's a purpose to him ascending. There was a purpose of him sending his spirit into his body, the church, to lead us into truth now, in this day where lies seem to be a force, right? That spirit of deception's out there right now. In this world of turmoil, we need the Prince of Peace as that force. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who gives us the power. Said in Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Well, not only has the Holy Spirit come upon us, the Holy Spirit has been sealed inside of you as you believe Jesus is your Savior. Thank you. Let's keep reading in Colossians 1. Let's go to verse 26. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known. He willed it. You're not here by chance. He willed this. He called you. And you answered. You see, Jim said it. He would have that none should perish. He wants to call all of creation his children, but he can't. They have to choose. See, they get to choose. He's reaching out saying, hey, I'll adopt you into my family. I'll make you my son. I'll make you my daughter. If you'll come with me. If you'll believe me. If you'll admit and acknowledge you can't do it on your own. I've sinned. I've fallen short. If I believe that Jesus' death paid the price for that sin, right? I believe that. That's where your faith comes in. And then I confess that with my mouth. That's ABC, salvation. Easy as ABC. I won't sing the Jackson 5 song. I was complimented on all my singing. Tennille, you complimented with your eyes. It really is as easy as ABC. Why? Because he wasn't going to make it complicated. He paid the ultimate price. Salvation is a free gift. Free means we didn't earn it. We receive it. But let me tell you something. With that free gift does come responsibility. Because His Holy Spirit's now inside of you, making your spirit completely holy. Right? That's why once you receive Him, He'll not leave you nor forsake you. I absolutely believe once you are saved, you will always be saved. I do believe that, absolutely. I'll show you scripturally. I'll show you theologically. But you know it experientially. Because you always hear Him calling to you. Even when I was messing up, He was calling to me. I heard Him. I wasn't listening. But I heard Him, and it didn't stop Him. He didn't quit. He never stopped. Until I finally did not only receive Him as my Savior, but then as my Lord. Ah. And that's what changes everything. See, now we can walk out that calling fully equipped with power. See, with power. And that power doesn't come from me. It comes from Him. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead resides inside of you. So you think you can face anything that comes against you? Absolutely. Fully equipped for every good work that He has for you. So yes, we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate His birth. But don't leave Him in a manger. We celebrate His death. But don't just stay at the cross. I've had so many brothers and sisters I love dearly, and they are saved. But they stay at the cross. They stay at the cross. They just stay there. Crying over their sin over and over and over. Keep committing the same sin, crying over it. Keep committing the same sin, crying over it. Right? Condemned. Hoping they're saved, but staying right at the cross. Instead of picking up your cross. And following Him. And see, that's what we're going to do. That's why we're doers of the word. Not perfectly. No. He didn't call us to be perfect. He already did that. He called us to be willing. Willing to walk out an imperfect life, but following a perfect King. Whoo! That excites me. I knew I couldn't be perfect. Religion taught me that. But relationship taught me I could be free. Whew. Man. Because when the Son sets somebody free, they're free indeed. He came to set you free. He sent His Spirit. But then what did Jesus do? He sat down at the right hand of the Father. And you know what He's doing right now? He's interceding for me. He's interceding for you. He didn't quit. He didn't stop. He loves you so much. And now He wants to use you to reach some people that don't even understand His love. A world that is caught up in hate and lies. A world that's caught up in a funny government. It said the government's on His shoulders. It's not on my shoulders, not on some politician's shoulders. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Isn't that the truth? How can you have faith in certain politicians? I don't have faith in politicians. I have faith in God. I have faith in His word. Amen? His word's what's going to hold. Is He going to use politicians? Praise God. Yes, He is. And I pray for them all the time. Because what's going to happen when some politicians get the truth inside of them? Whoo! But how are they going to hear the truth? The church. I better keep reading Colossians. Let's go to verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to this. Which is in Christ, in you, the hope of glory. What's the hope of the world? The church. Through Jesus. Who's the head? Jesus. But the hope of the world is going to be the church. He says it. The hope of the world is you. And the Holy Spirit inside of you. Revealing Himself to all men. By the fruit that's coming out of you, which is peace, in a crazy world, there's peace coming out of you because of whom you chose to believe and his spirit working inside of you. You ever heard a Christmas message like this? You probably won't hear another one either, but listen to this. Verse 28, him we preach. Him we preach. We preach Jesus. We preach Jesus. Warning every man. Warning every man. What did Jim say? Stop, drop, and roll? It ain't going to work. See, everyone gets to have an eternity. Every single person has an eternity. And you get to choose where you spend it. It's a choice. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart he rose from the dead, you will be saved. Whoo, that moment the Holy Spirit of truth comes inside of you, sealing your spirit and then leading you into truth. Now, church, our choice is, am I going to be leadable? Am I going to follow? How many times you told your little kid, now come on, and you get to going and they're off in the trees somewhere. And you got to go get them, grab their hand. It's okay to start as a child. It's not okay to stay as a child. The Lord shared with me this morning. And like any good husband, when I have to remember something, I text it to my wife. This is what he told me. Spiritual maturity is not a time-based acquisition in the kingdom of God. Spiritual maturity is directly proportional to two things, faith and obedience. Two things. You want to walk in maturity? Faith. You got to believe God. You got to believe in him, but then you have to believe him. And then obedience, do what he says. From those two things come the spiritual maturity necessary to operate in authority and power. You see, we're going to operate in authority and power. We each have a ministry. We each have a calling. We each have a part to play in this body that is the church. As we celebrate the birth of the head that is Jesus. And we take that responsibility seriously, but with joy. And in freedom, not in condemnation, not in guilt. This isn't a guilt-driven calling. See, Jesus took his calling seriously. And he lived it in fullness. And he did it for you. And that's why we celebrate. But like I said, if you can take anything away from this message, he's not a little baby. And he's not dead on some cross. No, he's alive. At the right hand of God. Man. And he is calling a lost world to himself. Because there's coming a day. And that day's not too long where he's coming back. He's coming back. He's going to take us to himself. Anybody ever been to a good party? I mean, you know, you ever been to like a wedding reception and they have all the food you like? And they're playing all the music that my wife shakes her head at because I can dance? Woo! And we're having a good time, right? And you see all the people that you love and you know. Do you know there's a marriage supper of the Lamb? And that you're all invited to? And all your family that's gone before you? Bam! That's an exciting day. That's an exciting day. And we're going to be there with all those people that have gone before us. All our loved ones, all of you, that's what Jim was saying. I get to hang out with you for eternity, praise God. With joy, no more tears. With the King of Kings who loved you so much. Glory to God. I don't want anybody to miss it. I don't want anybody to miss it. There's a heaven, there's a hell. You don't want to go to hell. And you don't want anybody else to either. See, I'm trusting none of y'all are going to go because you've already accepted Christ. If you haven't, you come up and talk to somebody because it's not difficult. It's really not. And you know what? He doesn't care what you've done. He said, if you've fallen short of one part of the law, you've fallen short of the whole law. So guess what? We're all sinners. We all have sinned, but we're all now the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. Right? We all have sin, but I don't identify with the sin. I identify with the righteousness. Why? Because I'm in Jesus. Woo. So now I'm free, right? But now I'm free to walk out the life he has for me, an abundant life. But it's directly tied to me believing him and then just doing what he says. And see, you do have a soul, man. And I can show, I'm going to teach it later when I teach on the Holy Spirit. How many people, you know, well, your conscience was talking to you, your conscience. You know, there's the conscience is a word in the Bible. You know what it's defined as? Your soul. A conscience influenced by the Holy Spirit is one that will lead you and convict you into turning from the wrong path and moving to the right path. A conscience, it talks about a conscience being seared, as with the hot iron, is a conscience that doesn't care about right and wrong. It talks about that in the last days, that men's consciences will be seared. They don't care about right and wrong. Are we seeing some of that? We're seeing that right now. But see, our mind, will, and emotions are influenced by the Holy Spirit of God that's inside of us. Thank God. And we get to walk out that life. Not perfect, no. But knowing that our God is perfect. His Son is perfect. His Spirit inside of me is perfect. His Spirit leading me into power and authority to help somebody else. That's the good news. We get to help somebody else. Amen? That's my Christmas message. Amen. I'm telling you guys, that book, I forget what it's called, but it all talks about precision of prophecy. I'm always amazed at how perfect God is. That may sound funny, but to have factual information in front of me that people who have no faith cannot deny. Now hear what I say. Factual information in front of you that people with no faith, they can't deny that. People of faith, we just add it to the truth we already know. Amen? We already know it's true.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Redtown. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseredtown.com. Or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/LighthouseRedtown. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Redtown, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.LighthouseRedtown.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Redtown, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. To shore, safe to shore, safe to shore, safe to shore. I won't fear what tomorrow brings. With each morning I'll rise and sing. My God's love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you
Christ.